welcome back to another episode of the Hall of Jostis Comic Cast. You got Above Average Joe here, and yet again, we're graced with the presence of Excalibur from Cerebral Syndicate.
I'm back! They can't get rid of me.
I don't think we would try.
Nah, it's like a permanent like guest appearance.
It's just an open door. I mean, yeah. You just show up like, hey, here he is.
You know, it's like those TV sitcoms where you have like one character that shows up all the time, and you never see him in like the credits rolling, but you know they're there and they're a main character. It's kind of like that.
So what you're saying is you're our Gunther?
Yeah, or you're Jazzy Jeff, whatever one.
Whichever. I don't think you work with the bleached hair, but...
Nah. And I don't like being bounced from buildings, so, you know,
whatever. There's that, too.
Hey.
So we're back with another three episodes of Young Justice.
Oh, boy.
We continue to not be okay.
This series is going to be incredibly hefty.
Yeah.
And we're not even at the midpoint of the series.
No. We're still in the preamble.
Yeah, so... And I think it's good that they decided, and I think we said this last time, too, that they decided not to unload all 24 episodes on us.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait. And, like, you have to wait. Like, you legitimately have to wait and see what happens to them in the next one. And you're like, oh, I only got an hour and a half of it. What happens next? Like, yeah. You have to, like, they're making you wait, which is good.
Which is good. And also, it gives you much-needed breathing room. Because if I mainlined all 24 episodes of that series, which I've been known to do, I would probably be catatonic on my couch.
Oh, I've mainlined both of the first two seasons, like, on numerous occasions. I'm like, why did I do this to myself?
Yeah.
Like,
now, I will say, these three episodes were slightly lighter than the first three.
Yeah, so I think with this three, they wanted to really establish their new set of characters.
Yeah.
So a lot of these three episodes were spent telling the stories of Halo, Geo-Force, and Ambush Bug.
Which, by the way, credit to Greg for making Ambush Bug of all characters cool and sympathetic.
Yeah, made him credible.
Like, yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I... Nah.
Yeah. I mean, what's next? We'll get a credible Booster Gold? Like...
Wanna Beast.
True.
I'm sure you can make that one work. No, I don't doubt Greg. He could probably make
it work. Yeah, no, Greg. Yeah. Greg will figure it out. Yeah, he'll figure it out.
If Bruce Timm can make Vigilante work, then Greg can make...
Yeah, absolutely.
Wanna Beast.
What I think is interesting here is they've clearly established in the first three episodes, Batman broke off and started his own Splinter Cell group after saying, hey, you know what? Fuck this Justice League thing. Like,
not working anymore.
Out. Yeah. So we're already kind of established that he is doing his version of the Outsiders, but in the next three... So episodes 4, 5, and 6, it's establishing that Grayson has his own set of the Outsiders.
Which I really like. I like that they're playing with that. I like that they're giving Tim, they're giving Dick a different kind of team to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will deal with it better emotionally this time than he did after the fallout of season 2. Because season 2 got intense for him. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially when he assumed main control of the team when Aqualad was dark.
Yeah.
Aquaman was dark.
So he earned the promotion.
He earned the promotion. I gotta put some respect on his name. But it's... Especially when you're dealing with death of a friend like that. And they even brought it up in this series of episodes. Mm-hmm. Where he was talking to Roy, and Roy was like, you need a Wally. Like, you need somebody to just tell you
fresh.
How it is. And I was like, ugh. Like, I was offended. I was offended for Grayson.
I was offended, and also I was like, I'm not used to one of the Harpers being a voice of reason.
Yeah, the logical one.
Like, this is... I'm not programmed for this.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was right, because there's always... One thing that we've seen consistently through... a lot of Greg's work, and not just Young Justice, is that there's always a character or two that are pivot characters that are always the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that one of the fastest men alive was the balance for...
The character who comported himself as the most immature was in fact the tentpole character.
Exactly, exactly.
And it did great stuff for Wally, and he better show back up, damn it.
Moving on.
I lost him in the comics like twice now. Yeah. Man,
I need Wally. Yeah, we don't need it. R.I.P. Wally. Forevers. Also, the... So, correct me if I'm wrong. I've never really dug into Terra's history as much as, you know, outside of, you know, the animated space.
Yeah.
But I don't think her and Geo-Force are actually related. No?
I think so. I don't remember. Honestly, it's been so long since I read the original Outsiders run and even Judas Contract. I'd have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I honestly don't remember. We'll fact check that and bring it back on another episode.
Yeah, definitely. Because I'm like, I don't remember that. But it's also you probably forget more than you remember situation at this point.
With the amount of legacy characters that DC has, things do get a bit muddled.
Yeah. So, and I think I also said last episode, too, that Jefferson's importance to this team is not going to be understated. And you see it again in these set of episodes as well, too, is that he is trying to bridge the gap between Halo and Geo-Force and the Doctor. But then also he's trying to find his place on this new team.
Mm-hmm.
So he's... I guess you can say the only true veteran of this new Outsiders team, because Jefferson has been doing heroing for a very long time.
Yeah.
And he probably joined the league later than everybody else did, but he's probably the one that has the most stripes.
I think it's probably a close tie between him and Dick, only because Dick started so young.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Also, Jefferson's position in this season reminds me of Red Tornado in season one.
Mm. Where you had the Elder Statesman. That
the
was
Elder
kind
Statesman,
of,
but he was also finding his place with that team.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they've brought that element back. It kind of, and there's some great callbacks in these three episodes to the early days. These characters are older now, and they're looking back on their early days, and you mentioned the new three. So to see the new three acting as brash and irresponsibly
as
they
the originals,
acted,
yeah.
There's some great moments where all of the original team members are kind of like, oh, so that's why they treated us like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dick even goes so far as to say, I hate being a grown-up. Odd character development. And I say odd because we're just not used to it. Connor as the
voice of
patient
reason.
Voice of reason.
It's weird.
Like, I like it, but I'm not used to it.
And that's and I think that's only because we spent, you know, the better part of, you know, a season and a half. Because once you got towards the tail end of season two, you kind of saw him taper off. And the way that he, you know, his mood and his attitude and the way he handled situations. But in this series, he's totally like, he's the voice of reason.
It.
Yeah. He's the voice of reason. He's calm. He's, you know, he's improved drastically in his combat.
Yeah.
And he commands situations up until, I almost want to say very Clark-like. Like, it's very, you know, outside of, you know, them not really having, you know, a Wonder Woman, you know, quote unquote, you know, they basically do have a trinity if you count Megan.
Oh, no, yeah. The trinity of Young Justice, I really feel like, is Connor, McGann, and I feel like Dick and Tigress kind of rotate in and out depending on their proximity to the group.
Right. So, I think the only thing I've been disappointed by so far in the six episodes, and again, we've got a whole nother however many episodes to go, is we haven't seen what's become of the Justice League after season one. So we finally got our first look at the team as they stand, you know, with Impulse and Static and Cassie. But we haven't really seen the League after that. Because now the League has to deal with the fallout of them losing, you know, almost three-fourths of their members. Yeah. Like, they just dropped. So I want to see, especially because I think I want to see more of how Aquaman is handling the role Paramount. Because even though Wonder Woman is co-chair, she's not Planetside.
Yeah.
So I want to see his, you know, I would like to see a character arc for him that's just his, and I'm assuming he's been doing this for the better part of maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
I don't think
he went from season two directly into being...
Right, yeah. And especially because we, you know, they established that it's been a two-year time jump. So I'm sure he's been... You know, he's been kind of eased into that role as, you know...
I'm willing to bet he's been a member of the League for at least a year.
At least a year. And I think the decisions to probably make him the co-head was because you had so many of the, you know, original eight off-world. And they're still off-world outside of...
Plus, it's a mentoring thing.
Yeah, outside of Batman.
If you're going to train under someone's wing to lead the team, Wonder Woman's probably a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I want to see how he's... having to deal with that, because now he's having to put his team back together.
I feel like we're probably going to see that start to grow in the next few episodes, because they've set up the resurgence of the Young Justice team itself, and now with everything exploding from in Markovia, from their banning of the Karaki immigrants to the metahuman ban, I think we're going to start seeing more of that global element come back. So I think they just kind of took a sidestep away, set up the new team, and then they're going to go back into the larger storytelling.
Well, and there's still a lot that we don't know either, because they they are almost now sidestepping the fact that the light doesn't exist, because we ran into Ra's al Ghul in episode 6, I think?
Yeah.
So we ran into Ra's, and he was like, I'm not leading the Assassins, and I'm no longer a member of the Light. So now it's like, okay, we know at some capacity, Apocalypse is still involved because all of his tech is still around.
We're seeing parademons involved.
Yeah, we're seeing parademons, like, you know, off and on. But we still don't have any inkling of where Vandal Savage is.
Yeah.
And we know he's involved in that, you know, Darkseid Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, don't know what's up with any of the other members of the Light yet.
We know Vertigo is working with all this metahuman stuff, so he's tangentially tied to Savage. We don't know really anything about where Luther stands. I could see why Ra's would back out. He is the more moralistic of all the Light membership.
Oh yeah, he's so probably second, like, no, I'm just tired.
The second
of shit.
The second they went in a direction, he was like, nah. Come on. He just went, you know what? No.
Yeah, he probably just bailed out. Yeah. He's probably just like, yeah, nah, fuck this. Like,
so I'm not surprised by that turn of events.
Oh no, not at all.
There were other events on Infinity Island that did pique my interest.
I'll let you take this one, because I took the Aquaman one last episode.
Okay, spoiler time here, boys and girls. So our intrepid new heroes full-heartedly rush in to confront the League of Assassins.
As new heroes tend to do.
Yeah, because, you know, that's not dangerous at all.
Nope, it's totally normal.
Well, we find out that Ra's is no longer in charge of the League of Assassins. He's pretty much gone, I won't say hermit, but just kind of like, yeah, screw the world, I'm going to stay on my island and meditate.
He's gone dark.
Yeah. Well, Grayson shows up, everybody shows up, there's some fighting, there's a couple of unnamed ninjas in the background. After the heroes leave, one ninja kind of stammers the name Grayson, and Ra's responds with, oh, your memory's returning. For those of us who remember season 2 of Young Justice, we'll know that Jason Todd, his hologram was featured in the Hall of Fallen Heroes.
Yep.
So, that happened. And, not only do we have that, but Talia comes out of the background, like you do, because she's Talia, carrying a little bundle of seething hatred. Damien. So in one fell swoop, Greg did a lot of universe building.
Yeah. In six episodes, Greg has built more of a universe than most comics do in 30.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. We've got Bat Baby. We've got Dead Bat Boy.
Mm-hmm.
On a lighter note, we did finally see one of our favorite characters from the first three episodes, who was just the girl in the chair. We finally got an on-screen view of Barbara.
Yeah!
Yeah. And she and Dick are in love.
Yeah!
We were very happy. In fact, Lee and I, we did a... We exclaimed in joy and then ended up in a like weird like, Ginyu pose.
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
That we held for...
Probably way too long. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think we brought this up in the first episode when we talked about the first three.
Mm-hmm.
Connor and McGann are engaged.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's, you know, so we're seeing
our little boys grow.
We're seeing things as they should be.
Yes.
And the only part that's missing now is that we don't have Wally. That's it.
Yeah.
And that could literally happen at any time.
Oh God, if he just shows up randomly, I kind of expect his return to almost be like Topanga in Boy Meets World, where they're like, he just opens the door and there she is standing covered in rain.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
And like Artemis slaps him and then pulls him.
Yeah. So I think what drives this show, and I think this is what drove this show in the first two seasons too, and why everybody got so attached to it, is they very quickly establish relationships in this show
that are meaningful.
And I think because of that, it also creates a element of drama that we're never ready for. So, like, for instance, Wally at the end of season two, nobody was ready for that.
Oh, God, going in from season one to season two, we had the last shot we had with Connor and McGann in each other's arms all happy, and then we start season two, and they're not together, and we're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
and everybody just wants to beat the shit out of Lagoon Boy, like, who is this man? Like,
boo this man!
Yeah.
I'll freely admit, I did take a sick amount of pleasure from his death in Heroes in Crisis, simply because of season two of Young Justice. No shame.
I did too.
So I was like, all right, well, he's sushi, fine.
Mm, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, we don't need him.
Yeah. Okay. these three episodes were a bit lighter, probably just because we needed to come up for air after the intense drama of episodes 1 through 3.
Yeah, because they throw a lot at you.
Like, the first three episodes did a lot.
They're really heavy.
We did see some fan-favorite returns in this episode. BioShip makes an appearance.
Yeah, BioShip. That was hiding out as a minivan.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. The second McGann looked over it, I was like, they're going to take a road trip?
Yeah, we like...
Like, I for somehow like completely forgot about BioShip, and then right as it clicked, she morphed, and I was like...
Yeah.
They do some great stuff with some sight gags with Ambush Bug. There's some kind of the three new characters of Ambush Bug, Halo, and Geo-Force have a chemistry that kind of echoes Wally, Dick, and Calder from season one.
Yeah,
there's the one who's dark and driven and knows what direction to go. There's the one who's kind of zany, but also knows when to shut up. And then there's Wally.
and then there's Wally.
Yeah. There were some tear-jerking moments, because... okay, I'll go ahead and say it right now. Naboo's a dick.
Yeah, he's
dick.
Yeah, like, straight up. Like, it's not... So, and I don't know where that's going to lead, like... Because that's an obvious, like, subplot that Greg is setting up.
Yeah.
And I don't... really know where that's going to lead, because we know that Zatanna, because we already know that she's part of the League.
Yeah.
So we don't know how far they're going to lean into that.
Yeah. Especially we don't know if this show is going to go another season, if it's just dying at season three, or if we're building towards another season.
Oh, no, it's fucking DC, bro. They can do what they want.
Oh, this, I know.
They're going to do it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
It's like, going to happen.
He could very well be just... planting seeds of stuff that's going to be season four or season five.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, we've seen Greg do as much throughout Young Justice and even in Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Naboo's a dick.
Yeah, man. He is a... yeah.
1 hour once a year that
Zatara
gets to see his daughter?
Yeah, dude.
It's
such bullshit.
Like, I thought the Davy Jones thing was kind of shitty, but at least that has enough loopholes. Like, that's just...
Yeah, this
ass baggery.
Yeah, man, this is shitty.
Halo became a very interesting character.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. She's nuanced. She's charming. She's got that same kind of naivete that McGann had in the mm-hmm. first couple of episodes, but not quite as dopey. There's mm-hmm. more of an innocence to her.
Right.
We see her evolve a lot in episodes 5 and 6.
Yes. Yeah. She, her character took a very sharp turn in episode 5 because they were on this crusade to figure out who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were kind of like trying to ask her, as you know, we're like, hey, you know, as Tigress was like, hey, do you remember who you are? You start getting flashbacks,
yeah,
from, you know, via her point of view.
Some of them were kind of creepy,
and some of them were really creepy about who she may be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, you were a kid that, you know, probably had the metagene, and you know, or you or already a meta, we don't know, but your weird knowledge of New Genesis, for one.
Oh, yeah, like, she rattles off, like, a Wikipedia article about New Genesis, and yeah, everyone's kind of like,
how do you know that? Yeah, so I think there's going to be more to Halo than Greg is letting on, and like you said, like, for story purposes, we may not get it until when and if there's a season 4.
Yeah.
Like, they may just be like, yo, we'll save this for later.
Yeah. I would not doubt that. You Greg, know, like, Greg giveth and Greg taketh away.
He does. And then they did kind of mention, you know, when Tigress had Dr. Fate look at Halo, he says, you know, you're an old soul trapped in a young body. And
then there's a slight dialogue line from Ambush Bug implying that she might be a new god.
Yeah. So...
I don't know.
Yeah, so I think she'll be the best part of the series, because I think I think people are going to grow to love her really quick.
She's kind of the parallel to Jaime in season 2.
Mm-hmm. So people are going to learn to love her really quick, which is going to make her story really important. And because of that, I think we may see kind of the same push and pull that we got out of, you know, Jaime's story in season mm-hmm. 2 with the Reach.
What I like to see is that even the characters they introduced in season 2 is kind of the background, the roster fillers, have developed their own internal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, 13, and Bart and Jaime are hanging out. Mm-hmm. Cassie and Virgil hang out together. So mm-hmm. they've kind of developed their own social groups.
Which is great.
Which is great, and also we're going to see the fallout of those missing members.
Yeah.
Sooner because rather than later.
We already kind of saw it or got the seeds of it when, you know, Cassie and Tim are dating, apparently. Yeah. And she's on the phone with Tim right before their mission, and Virgil's with her.
Yeah.
And she's, like, going off on him because he just disappears with Batman
mm-hmm.
after he decides to leave the League and takes, like, half of the team and half of, you know, the Justice League with him. And
Dick.
She doesn't know what's going on. And when she's asking him about it, he's like, I can't tell you that. And she was like, well, what do you mean? Like, you just can't leave and not give me an answer.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I kind of stick to, you know, my theory in the first episode is we're probably going to see, you know, some kind of power struggle. Like, there, because...
Oh, I definitely think you're going to see an internal Batman power struggle. Yeah,
Batman is Batman. Like, he is going to, for a lot of people in, you know, that universe, like, for the hero community, he supersedes a lot of the members on the League, period. Just because of the way that he operates. Mm-hmm. So he could very well be unknowingly working against what Aquaman and what Nightwing are doing.
You're going to see a power struggle between Batman and Calder. And it's gonna be Bruce's demons coming home to roost, because Calder is the leader that he is because Bruce trained him to do that.
Yes. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Aquaman trained him on how to do his thing,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of leading a team, Bruce is the one who kind of mentored him through that.
Mm-hmm.
And like we all know that when someone that Bruce has trained turns against him,
it gets ugly. Like, and we've, you know, if it's anything that we've learned about the history of the Robins, when they butt heads, and it happens, and it happens hard. Very hard. And it takes years in some cases before...
Some of those relationships never fully recover.
Yeah, some of those relationships never... Like, I'm still surprised to this day that Bruce and Dick have the relationship that they have. And maybe that's because Dick has always been the one that's been the better counterbalance to
Bruce's
madness.
I'm surprised the relationship that Bruce and Tim have after some of the shit that he pulled with Spoiler.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, I still read War Games and go, what?
That was a dick move. Yeah.
Ass.
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. I mean, in this continuity, in this universe, you know, Aqualad, or, you know, Aquaman now is more, is in that same line of Robin's, almost. Mm-hmm. Because even though, you know, Aquaman did have a hand in his training, he wasn't as connected to the team as Batman was.
Yeah, Aquaman was training Calder to be Aquaman.
Yeah.
Not to be
the
leader of
a
team. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm curious to see what we're gonna get from Green Arrow, only because, one, the riff with Dinah, and two, the fact that we see all the Harpers in these episodes, which I guess now is as good a time as any to segue to the best thing that this show has given us so far.
It's all three Harpers in an episode with Dick Grayson.
Not just in an episode, in an SUV.
In an SUV. To the SUV!
God, there were so many great just sight gags. Like, episode 4...
The clipboard's never wrong.
Like, the clipboard's never wrong. Never doubt the clipboard. Episode 4 is really just lighthearted fun. It allows you to come up for air coming... It is definitely the palate cleanser, and then they bring you back down for episodes 5 and 6.
It was a development issue. It was a development episode for Grayson.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot, because he's out of the original ones, you know, Connor, Kelder, Wally, McGann.
He's the more tenured.
He's the more tenured one.
But he also rebels against his own instincts.
Exactly. So it's another, and we've gotten multiple, like, growth episodes out of, you know, Dick's character. This is just another
one. A child of Batman has commitment issues?
Whoa. Yeah, no. Yeah, he's gonna have a fucking, like, alien bug, a weird floaty chick, and a rage monster living in his house pretty soon, so whatever.
I mean, if you live with Jason Todd, you can pretty much handle any of it.
Yeah.
No, but the episode with the Harpers is great. We get another, you know, where is Dick joke.
Yeah.
There's plenty of really tongue-in-cheek references to the hello, Megan.
Yeah.
Which does make a triumphant return in episode 6.
Oh, it's so
which
great.
Was great.
Oh, it's so great.
I love it. But man, Dick and the three Harpers. Like, at one point, Dick even asks, whose idea was it to put all three of you together? And of course, they all respond in unison, yours.
Yours, yeah.
And what's really funny is, coming out of season 2, where all three Harpers kind of had a, you know, don't ask, don't tell approach to each other,
mm-hmm.
with Jim being kind of the dopiest,
mm-hmm.
to now see them all willing to intermingle and interact, it's kind of refreshing. Because they went from, you know, you had the OG Roy, who was like, I don't want to be around any of you at all, ever. And Jim, who's kind of, you know, golly gee willikers, you know, he's definitely the more old guard,
mm-hmm.
of those heroes. And then you've got Will now, who is just kind of this... He's
weird
jaded.
Single dad.
He's weird jaded single dad. Jaded single dad. Small business owner.
Yeah. Jaded small business owner. Jaded single dad.
There are so many just jokes about domestic life and superheroism in this episode. It's great. Ugh.
So, here's a question, and this may be something that we figure out later on. Why haven't we seen Cheshire yet?
Well, I think we got an indication of that in episode 5 with the interaction with the League of Assassins, mm-hmm. because Race shoots down the idea that it's Sportsmaster.
Yeah, well, because Sportsmaster's a dunce anyway, so he can't run a fucking League
evil
of
Casey
Assassins.
Jones. And then Artemis brings up, or Tigress, I keep reverting to, like, previous IDs.
Yeah.
She brings up the concept of Cheshire, and he just tells her to get out.
Yeah.
And there's a little more bite in that.
Yeah.
Than,
it's a little more seething than
so it's
normal.
Entirely possible that she led a coup against him. I also wouldn't doubt, just because
it's
Greg, I wouldn't doubt Nyssa.
Yeah, it's also very possible.
There could be an entire power struggle within the Al Ghul family.
Because the first thing I thought was actually Talia.
Yeah.
That was the first thing.
That was right where I went until she walked out of the back room with, you know, a baby.
Baby Damien, yeah.
Man, who else? I mean, shit. We did introduce two other members of the League of Assassins in these episodes. A Black Spider, who I think was voiced by our friend from Spectacular Spider-Man.
Actually,
hit the interwebs.
Yep. What's interweb?
While Excalibur's doing that, his comportment in these episodes was very much like Spider-Man in the Spectacular Spider-Man series when he had the black suit. He was quippy. He was dark. He was inappropriately amusing. And there is some allusion to Terra actually being a member of the League of Assassins.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not sure how that's going to work. I don't really trust Ra's at face value when he says, you know, she may or may not be. Even though we do admit that Ra's is probably the most honest Batman villain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't do agendas. He just, you know, I'm doing this and this is me, obviously. And yeah. If you don't like it, get out of my way.
Yeah, this is my shit. Fuck yeah. You. Go away.
Yeah, yeah, he's never been one for false identities and misdirection. Which does lend him a certain amount of credibility, but also, he's fucking Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to shake out. I do like that Geo-Force is starting to get past his seething anger issues.
Eh.
I said starting to.
Eh.
I know it took Connor 2 years. He's speaking in full sentences.
Did it really take Connor 2 years, though? I'm thinking it took longer than 2 years.
2 years that we saw.
Did it really? I'm assuming it took longer than that.
There's a couple of really cute domestic moments between Connor and McGann, but also I really have to think about how awkward it must be to, like, walk into their house and they're just standing there silently staring at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talk to each other more often than not telepathically.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how awkward must it be to walk into someone's home and they're completely silent and just staring at each other,
yeah,
and you
like,
know they're having a conversation?
Like,
did I just walk in on something?
Yeah. So, breaking the action.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Keaton,
mm-hmm.
who is the voice of Black Spider,
mm-hmm.
in Young Justice, is indeed our Spectacular Spider-Man.
Hey!
And he also
snailed
did...
It.
Snailed it. He also was Spidey for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Spider-Man Edge of Time.
I did know Edge of Time.
I knew he was in Edge of Time. And he was also in Shattered Dimensions. He was Ultimate Spider-Man in Shattered Dimensions.
You're right, he was.
And he is also one of our members of Voltron. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, overall, I think these last three episodes were a much-needed reprieve from the intensity of episodes 1 through 3.
But I don't think 7 through 9 are.
Oh, 7 or 9 are going to throw us right back in the shit. Like, it's... Like I said, Greg giveth and Greg taketh away.
Yes. But one thing that I appreciate within the 6 episodes now is that you can tell that he's also establishing a pace.
Yeah.
Which was also very evident in... More in season 1, I think, than season 2.
Season 2 was more bifurcated. There was, you know, plotline 1 and plotline 2.
Right. It was a little more... kind of like when they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., was it like a season or two ago, where you had Ghost Rider and then you had the LMB stuff. It was kind of like that. Like, they had one part of the story that they absolutely had to tell, and then there was another part of the story that they still had to tell, but they had to give it a clean break before they could start that story. So season one and season three are mirroring each other a lot better in the terms of cohesive story.
There's an overarching narrative as opposed to two separate stories that take place within the same linear timeline.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
I would definitely agree there. I'm glad that this set of episodes took the time to round out all the characters and kind of just show where they are after this 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even just the brief moments we got between Dick and Barbara,
mm-hmm.
the brief moments we got between Connor and McGann, the mm-hmm. stuff we saw with Will and Leanne, him being a dad. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just little setups to show that these characters have grown and matured, which makes their reactions to the new crop of heroes acting recklessly really, really hilarious.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, while we were watching that episode, I was like, you know what? The team did some stupid shit going off on their own. Not as stupid as going after Ra's al Ghul. Yeah. Like, that's, like, new levels of dumb.
And the simple fact that, like, 10 minutes after that, Connor throws, like, their Cadmus adventure in Dick's face. And Dick's like, oh.
Yeah, he's like, I don't remember that. Yes, I do.
It's really hilarious to see these characters look at each other like, now I understand why Batman shoved us into a cave.
Yeah, now I know why he put us in a cave. In a city that nobody cared about.
With a babysitter.
With a babysitter. Because we were out of control.
Yeah. So there's a really hilarious meta narrative that also provides some much needed levity, because that's all happening while, you know, Ambush Bug is being threatened with murder from his own people and being exiled off his own planet.
Yeah, that was weird.
There's this weird fight between McGann and her actual biological little brother, which that threw me. That came out of left field in a good way.
That totally threw me for a loop, which means we could potentially have another foil for this season.
Because when they first said there was something going on with telepathy, I was like, oh, did they bring Simon back?
I honestly thought it was Simon.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then after we said that, it was revealed that it was her little brother, and we're like, oh shit, there's family drama.
But also at the same time, it's like, how would Simon get there? Like, how would he get to New Genesis?
I don't know. Vandal Savage showed up on Darkseid's doorstep. I'm not going to throw anything out of the loop at this point.
Fair.
Again, remember, we bought Sportsmaster. Evil Casey Jones. Okay. Anything else for the next few episodes, you think?
I think at least one of them will be League focused, hopefully. Yeah. But I think we're going to see, I think episode 7 is going to be about Dick reestablishing his pieces.
I think you're going to see him reestablishing his team. I would definitely agree that you're going to get a League focused episode. I think there's going to be some inherent, I think there's going to be three-way tension between Calder and Dick's team.
Mm-hmm.
And then Calder and the Justice and Batman's whatever he's got going on. Mm-hmm. And then tension between Dick and Batman, because they operate in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason I say there's going to be tension between Calder and Dick's team is simply because of their strong presence and connection to everything that's going on in Markovia.
And I think a lot of it, too, is that I think they've always been the opposite sides of the same coin, right?
Yeah.
Even though Calder and Dick as characters aren't really that far apart. Whereas Grayson was more the reluctant leader, Aquaman knew, Calder knew at some point that he was going to have to be the guy on multiple fronts.
Yeah.
So I think the tension is going to come from more so Calder thinking Nightwing was just kind of semi-retired.
Yeah.
And was like not really wanting to take any action. But then at the same time, because he's now having to deal with his Batman fallout, he has to double back and has to talk to his best friend about, like, dude, what are you doing?
Don't make my life more complicated. Like,
you just made my life 100 times harder because I'm dealing with this League fallout. But then I hear my best friend went in with another team and basically invaded a country.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be long-lasting tension. I think they're going to have a couple of terse conversations.
Oh yeah, they'll have their classic Calder and Dick screaming match. Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman or Dinah will probably calm Calder down. McGann or Tigress will probably pull Dick off the ledge.
Yep.
And then they'll go back to work. I don't think it's going to be too detrimental. The stuff with Batman is what's going to seriously rock the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just hope we get another shot of, you know, Ran and Thanagar, because I love me some Adam Strange. Yeah. Not even going to lie about that.
Yeah. He was actually a nice surprise to show up.
Yeah. But with that, gang, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Wait till the next set of episodes, where I'm pretty sure we will both be emotionally devastated and crying into the mic for a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm betting on it.
Oh yeah. All right. Later.
Tippy bartenders.